Daf is Daf Chaf Dalad. So we got to the bottom of Chaf Gimel and Beis, the last few lines that we had introduced the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was the opinion that felt that outside a Gag, a Chatzar, and a Karpef, even though they're different in nature, you could still combine all of them together and carry from one place to the next. But you can't carry from your house to the various places outside. You can go from your house to the Chatzar, but you can't go from your house to the Chatzar to the Karpef. That wouldn't be allowed. But if everything's outside, you could move around from a Chatzar to a Karpef. So now the Gemara asks the question, in the last two lines of Chav Gimel Amud Beis, will the Rabbi Shimon Nami? Kevin did Nizra Rubo, Havi Hahu Miuta, Batel Le Legave Rubo. Behavle Karpef Yoser Mibes Sasayim Vasser. So I'll explain, I'll read that again. That according to him, we had this discussion where you had an area of a Karpef, where it was permitted, it was hukaf ladira, which means you're allowed to carry in the area, but then part of the area became nizra, it was planted with the vegetables of some sort, which makes it a din of a karpef. But we said, since one area is a chatzar, meaning unplanted, the other area is a karpef, so since a karpef and a chatzar next to each other, you could carry in the chatzar, you could also carry in the karpef. They don't affect each other, because Rabbi Shimon felt the karpef and chatzar can be equated. But the Gemara is asking the question now, if, however, the area that's been in Nizra, where the Gina is there, if it's Rove of the Karpef, it has a Gina, that Rove is going to be Mevatel, the Miyat of the Chatzar, and the entire area now should be viewed as a Karpef only, and it should be also. Let's read that one more time. The Gemara asks again, the Rebbe Shimon Nami Kevin de Nizra Rubo, since most of the area is planted, Havi Hahu Miuta, the Chatzar part is a Miut, and Batalei Lagave Ruba, that Chatzar, which is a Miut, should be Batel with respect to the Rove of the Karpef. Havile Karpef Yoser Mi Basis Aim. Now you have to view the entire area as a Karpef, and when a Karpef is larger than a Basis Aim, it would be usher to carry in it. And Rashi just points out the top line of Chavdalid, Batel Lagabe Ruba, Bahave Ki'ilu Nizakula. It says if the entire area was planted. So the Gemara comes back and tweaks the comment earlier and says, really, Ela Itamar, if you want to say a statement, Hachi Itamar. Homi Uta Shari. If you have this area that's a Karpef, that was hukaf ladiro and permitted initially, and then if it was nizra in that area, if rova was nizra became a gina, the entire area is aser. But if only a miut, only a minority part of it was planted, but most of it remains as a chatzer, so then one would be permitted to carry in the area. There's a chatzer, which is rova, which is permitted, and then there's a miut, which is the karp, which is a gina, which is aser. So now the Gemara is going to have two ikadamris how to understand the relationship in this area where Rove is a chatzir and part of it is a gina. So the Gemara explains that Amar Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua lo Amrin Ella de lo Havi Beis Sasayim. It's only true if it's not a Beis Sasayim, which means if the gina is not a Beis Sasayim. We'll look at Rashi to explain this. Aval, if the gina part itself is Beis Sasayim, usher, it would be usher to carry not only in the gina, but since the gina itself is a Beis Sasayim, it also usher is carrying in the chatzir as well, Keman and Krabanan. So let's look at Rashi to explain what's going on here. Rashi says three lines down. Delohave, hahu miuta, denizra beis sasayim. If the area that's planted in this area, part of it's planted, if that planted area is less than a beis sasayim, it's smaller than a typical size, delohashiv lihibadel minachat. It's not considered enough of a size to be separate from the chatzar. Ulikaros lo shame levada to call it separately, and therefore it gets subsumed in the chatzar. In other words, if the gina is less than base asayim, and it's also a miut relative to the chatzar is mevatel the gina, and you could carry that entire area. However, aval, says Rashi, base asayim, if the area of the gina reaches the amount, the shear of a base asayim, so then nikra karpef, it's called the karpef, shalohukaf ladiro, that base asayim itself is called the gina that was not surrounded for dira purposes. V'afagav, even though dil have a banfi nafshi, if it stood alone, not next to a chatzar, but as a separate area of a beis asayim, it would be kibeis asayim. Lo, mitaser wouldn't be aser. You're allowed to carry in a karpif if it's a beis asayim, as long as it's not bigger than that. However, when it's adjacent to a chatzar, hacher, the nifrat l'chatzar, it opens up to a chatzar, and the chatzar is nifrat lo, it's completely open and breached right next to this karpif. So then the din is usher letalta mekarpef lechatzer. You can't carry from the karpef to the karpef to the chatzer. Tavi rishus hanifer to lemakum ha'usher lo. The chatzer now is breached to an area that's usher to. And we know when the chatzer is open to an area like a rishus harabim or karmelis or even a karpef, they're osher rishus zulazur, they're usher to each other. And this is all like Chachamim hold that we don't assume that the Chatzar and Karpiv become one unit. They remain separate units. And since a Karpiv stands as an area that's in Nifratz to the Chatzar, you can't carry in that entire area. So again, just to review, it's a little bit confusing. That if this area is less than a base Sasaim, it doesn't create its own shame of a Karpiv. It's just a small Gina. And therefore, a small Gina becomes a Miyat relative to the Chatzar. You could carry into this entire area. But once this Gina gets to the shear of base Sasaim, it's now called the Karpiv. And now it's a Karpiv next to a Chatzar. And it's a Chatzar that's completely exposed to the Karpiv. So they end up asering each other over against Rabbi Shimon. But like Rabbanan who hold that they aser each other, not that they matter each other. And therefore, be aser once the Karpiv hits the shear of a base Sasaim. The Gemara now presents a different understanding, which is Rav Yirmiya Midifti Masi Lakula. He thought this discussion was actually taught leniently. Meaning what? Ha Miuta Shari. We said, if the Karpiv is next to the Chatzar, and the Karpiv is a Miut, it's only a small, it's less than 50% of the entire area, and the Chatzar is 51%, so the Chatzar is permitted, and it's Mevatel the Karpiv, that's all permitted. And now came along, Amar Rav Huna Bered of Yeshua Lo Amrin Ela Beis Asayim, it's only true with the Beis Asayim, Aval Yosem Beis Asayim Aser, Kiman Krabi Shimon. So they're arguing about when it's exactly a base Asayim. That's the argument right now. According to the first opinion, everyone agrees less than base Asayim is certainly Mutter. Everybody agrees more than base Asayim is actually also because Yosemi base Asayim becomes a Karmelis. So a Karmelis next to a Chatzar where it's completely exposed, the Karmelis certainly asers the Chatzar. The Machlokas is when the Karpiv itself, the Gina, is an exact base Asayim. So it's a Karpiv. Now, will that aser the Chatzar? Will not aser the Chatzar. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara says, Kiman to Rabbi Shimon, that we actually permit a Karpiv next to a Chatzar work with each other, and they're both Mutter. But the first man, the Amar, said, like Rabbanan, that when they're next to each other, they actually aser each other. So that's the difference when it's exactly a base Sasaim. And that's the two different versions of this discussion. But okay.
According to the first man, the Amar, if it's bigger than two Sasaim, then Sasaim is not a Karmel? It's not a Karmel?
It would be a Karmel. It's more than base Sasaim. It's only when it's exactly base Sasaim, it's aser because it's a Karpev next to a Chatzar. But Yosemite base Sasaim, it's certainly Kavachomer, it's aser, because then it becomes a Karmelis, which exposes itself to the Chatzar. So the machlok is only when it's exactly a base Sasaim. That's the only machlok. It's exactly. So Gemara now says two dots. Nata ruba harehu kechatzer umoter. We said if you have this big area and it was hukaf ledira, and then you started to plant seeds, it asers the area depending on the size. But if you plant trees, so then the Gemara says that's acceptable because people live with their trees. The trees make a nice shady area. You hang out in the area. That's all fine. But the Gemara now has a qualification. It's not true. Not any type of tree. Amar of Yehuda Amar Avimi Vuhusha Suyin Itstablos. What does that stablos mean? If you look at Rashi, Rashi's stablos are Nituin Shuros Shuros Vinal Sheves Sham. They make rows, like very neat trees, lines of trees. It was clearly made, it was planted by Bnei Adam. So that's the only time if you plant them in such a way does it become a chatzer. But if you have them dispersed, just mixed like a forest, even though it was planted by Bnei Adam, that would be usher according to this first opinion. Comes along Rav Nachman Amar, Afa Pishena Suyin Itstablos, even if it wasn't made in perfect rows, it was just planted, dispersed throughout, that too would be acceptable. People would sit in such areas. So that's a very important machlokas. Now, how do we paskin? The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rav Nachman that you don't have to have them lined, it could be dispersed, and that would be acceptable as well. That's called a makom dira. But the Mishnah Berurah does say it has to only be because people planted it that way with that reasoning. They had to plant it. But if they didn't plant it with a reasoning, it would just kind of happen you have a backyard that was naturally grown by with trees that were there, that wouldn't work. It only means if Bnei Adam planted the trees. But if they didn't plant the trees, Mishnah Berurah felt it wouldn't qualify as a makom dira. It would actually pose an issue of a karpiv. So the Gemara now says, and the Chazanish actually points out, if you have an area that's a forest, where there's no, it wasn't made in rows, but you add some trees to make them like rows in the forest, that actually might turn the forest into a makom dira. Not sure exactly the gather, how many trees you have to do, but you can actually seemingly transform a forest into a makom dira by planting rows of trees. So either way, that's a machlokas. Do the trees have to be rows? Or even if they're not rows, it still serves as a makom dira. So the Gemara says one time that Mar Yehuda, Ikle the Bei Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, he visited the house, the house, the property of Rav Huna, he saw that there's an area in the backyard. He had acres of property, and there was a forest back there, and the trees weren't planted in rows. It was mixed up, and yet they were still carrying in the area, meaning he didn't assume that this was a carpet. They thought this was a makam dira. So he says, Amar le, lo savar le mar lahad davimi, do you not hold vavimi, that you only allow the trees, if they're made as rows, are they considered makam dira. But if they're not made as rows, it's considered a carpet and would be usr. Amar le, ana Rav Nachman, really. I pass like Rav Nachman, that doesn't require, he doesn't require rows, and that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. They don't need to be rows of trees to serve as a makam dira. So Gemara now says further, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel.
What are the trees going to be as many, how big, just to make the same?
Now, so Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, carpet, doesn't, if it's not a carpet, it doesn't make a difference at that point. It's a makam dira then. Just like a makam dira, if you have them a rose, the house can be as big as you want, so too the rose can be as big as you want. So then Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, carpet yosim beis sasayim. Let's see if a carpet that's larger than beis sasayim. Shelo hukaf ledira. It wasn't made for dira. So he said, if you are hukaf ledira, if I make a fence for a dira, so I want to make a huge chatzar. So I can make my chatzar as big as I want. It's for my property. I can have acres and acres of land. That's fine. But let's say I have an area that was a forest, or let's say a swamp. I fenced it off so no one gets in there. It was hukaf shelo l'shem dira. I didn't plan to live in the swamp. I just boarded it off. So now I want my walls now to turn into a makam dira. I want to change it. How do I change it now? If I drain the swamp and I build a house, that won't work because the walls were initially made shelo hukaf l'dira. So how do I change it from shelo hukaf l'dira to dira? How do I change the nature of the walls? So the Gemara says again, a carpet that's yosem beis asayim that was initially made shelo hukaf l'dira, that was not wall for the purposes of dira. Ketet huosa. How do I now change the walls into walls hukaf l'dira? So the Gemara says very simple. Poritz bo pirta yosem eser. Knock down wider than 10 amos of the wall. So now the walls are really useless because I have a huge breach. And Goldro, umamida al eser umutter. Now I rebuild that wall, l'shem dira, and I built it. So if I, again, I have a swamp, and I want to build a fence, I already have a fence, so I could just knock down, 10 amos plus of wall, a fence, and then rebuild the same exact fence, and have it l'shem dira, and that's going to be completely fine. So now the Gemara asks on this understanding, so let's see, you have the following scenario. Ibari lehu parat ama, v'gada ama. Let's say you don't do all 10 amos in one shot. You take down an amma fence, you rebuild it. Another amma fence, you rebuild it. And so on and so forth. And in totality, you have a total of 10 amos that you replaced of the fence, but never at one time was it actually 10 amos of breach. So what will that be good enough to be considered shehukaf l'dira? So the Gemara explains again. Do we say ibarilu parits amma, v'gadar amma, uparits amma, v'gadar, and so on, achi shlima liosim? Yes, until you finally had changed over 10 amos. Mahu, what's the din? Is that going to serve as a karpef, as a rather a hukaf l'dira now? So amr le. So he says, I'll tell you what. Lav hainu ditzan, is this not what we have exactly in the Mishnah that appears in Maseches Kalim? That kol kli bali batim, shi'uran kirimonim. So the any kli, balabas has his kli. So we know what if there's certain holes in the kli, it's no longer functional. How large does that hole have to be where it renders the kli no longer a kli? If it's the size of a rimon, if I could put my pomegranate and it falls right through my kalim, that's not going to be a kli anymore. So that's the shi'ur kirimonim. So on that din, uboi chizkiya, nikav kamotzi zayis, let's say there was a hole the size of a kazayis. And that's not as big as a pomegranate. Visasmo, we closed it off, you sealed it off. V'chazav nikav kamotzi zayis, then you made another hole somewhere else. Visasmo, so now, there was never a hole the size of a rimon, but after adding up all the patches, all the holes once together had the amount of a rimon. Will that be considered a hole the size of a rimon and no longer a kli or not? And so the Gemara says, Amar le Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe Shinisalanu, he taught us, so this is now we're bringing another raya, and it's that we're talking about kalim, now we're moving to shoes. So Rebbe taught us, sandal. Shinifsika achas mi oznav, one of the ears, or one of the, the leather strips, where the shoes are made, there's the bottom, the sole, there's two sides on the top. So really four sides of a shoe, if you look at it. And the back, I guess, also. So if one of the sides of the shoe is ripped off, so what do you do is, vitikna, you fix it, tame, it's still tame midras. Tame midras, if a zav, he stands in the tame, too much midras, it becomes a din of avatuma, when it comes directly from the zav. So now, because without one of the sleeves or whatever it's called, it doesn't ruin the shame kli. It's still a usable kli. It's a usable shoe. However, nipsika shni, if the second side of that shoe now gets snaps off and you replace it with tikna, it's tahor min ha midras. because now it's half of it's completely new keli now. So when the zav initially was in it, and now you had changed over two of the leather pieces of the shoe, it's a completely different keli now. It loses its shame. So it's tahor min hamidras, aval tamei maga midras. But it is tamei maga. Maga is rishon when you touch. Let's say you know avatuma is the source. So tumas meis is avatuma. A person touches a mace, he becomes rishon. So maga means the one who touched the source. So the sandal itself that the zav stood in, that's tumas midras, that's the avatuma. And one who touches the shoe is considered tumas maga. Not really our topic, I'm just addressing it because it's quoted here. So what happens is, even though the shoe no longer has tumas midras, because it loses its two leather shoes, leather sides, it still has tumas maga, it's still rishon, because whatever's left of the initial shoe had touched a tumas midras. So it's a rishon tumah, it's not avatuma. Okay, not our concern right now, however. But in the end of the day, the Gemara says, V'amris Allah, Maishna rishona da kaima shnia. How come when the first side of the leather shoe came off, it was still tame midras? Because the second side of the sandal was still intact. When shnia nami, when the second one fell off, hakaima rishona, but the first one was intact as well. Right? There's never a time where both sides were off. So you fix the other one. So there's always one other one that's there. So again, when the first one fell off, the second one was still intact. So when you put the first one back in, it's still tummy. So when the second one fell off, well, the first one, even though it wasn't the original one, but still there's a piece that was intact, so the second one should also still be tummy. And the Gemara says, no, it's not true. It's not a concern. Amr Salon, the response was, Amr Salon Allah, Panim Chadashos Baalakan. It was Panim Chadashos. In the end of the day, that the two major pieces, the two oznav of the sandal, were brand new. They were not there. Panu chadashus ba'okan. Completely two new pairs of new strips of leather, and therefore changes the whole nature of the shoe. So once we say panu chadashus ba'okan, and therefore the sandal is tahor, we could say the same thing as well. Hachanami panu chadashus ba'okan. So too by the case of the keli of the kli ba'abayis, and the kazayis, and the kazayis, and the kazayis adds to Rimon, we say the whole kli is now a new kli, it's panim chadashus baalakan. And also, by extension, the initial question is, once you've now breached 10 amos, although it was never at one time, but you changed 10 amos worth of fence, that would also be considered panim chadashus baalakan, and it would actually be effective to make the area hukaf ladira. And after answering this question, so the Gemara had said that, called the following, this was the question of Rav Nachman. So, rather, it's a question of, this was the response of Rav Nachman. I forget who's talking at this point, actually, now. But the Gemara says, Kari Allah, they refer to whoever's responding back. Kari, Rav Nachman's responding here? Rav Yochan. Kari Allah, they refer to Rav Yochan. Less la din min enish, ik damar kigon din barnish. Meaning what? Less din barnish. This person does not have a din of an ish, rather what? Rashi is a din of a malach? And the other Ikadami says, no, this is what a bar gavra, this is what a real ish is. So both of them are compliments. So they point out here, is the Nachle Aravim points out, we have the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Kufi Beis, that says, Im Rishonim Kimalachim, Anu Pnei Adam. If the earlier generations were like Malachim, we're like people. And if the earlier generations, Im Rishonim, were Kimalachim, Adam, you and I, Anu Kichamorim, we're like donkeys. So it's a reference to that Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan was either like Malachim, or he was like an Ish, one of those two, but it was certainly a compliment that he was able to bring a Raya from the Mishnah in Kalim to prove our point here in Maseches Erevin about fixing the breach of Hukaf Ladir.
So it all depends on the end. The end makes it.
Where, if you have, you change 10 amos of fence. It's a new fence, even though it wasn't at the, all at the same time. So, Gemara, that's Amar of Kana, Rechava Shachar, Re'abatim. If you have that area which you spoke about was behind the yards. Now, the backyards back then were not like our backyards. They weren't really used. They were meant, they were closed off. They didn't even have an entranceway oftentimes from the house to the backyard. Just a dead space in the backyard. Maybe they throwed garbage back there. Who knows what was back there. So, you have a Rechava Shachar, Re'abatim. Ein metalton ba ela bedal amos. You can only carry in the area dal amos. Why is that? So just look at Rashi to explain a little bit about the situation here. Five lines up from the bottom here. Rechava she'achori abatim ve'ein pesach habayis pasuch lo. The house does not open up into the rechava. Have mukafas shlo ladira. So if you, even if you have a fence around the rechava, it wasn't intended ladira by the virtue of the fact that my house doesn't even open up to the rechava. So just a dead area in the back. Now Rashi says further. If the area is larger than a base asayim, then a metalton ba ela barba amos. It becomes a typical case of a carpet, just a dead area that wasn't hukaf ladira. So now back to the Gemara. You have this rechava she'achori abatim a metalton ba ela medal amos. The Amr of Nachman ima pasach la pesach. If you open an entranceway from your house, then mutter letalta bakula, the Pesach batiro. So by you opening a house, the entrance of your house, you now have made this an extension of your house, a type of chatzar, although it's in the backyard, the chatzar were typically in the front yard, it's now a kind of chatzar, and you could carry in the area. Now the Gemara qualifies and says, v'lo amrin, it's only true, ella, shepasach ulvasof hukaf. Right, only if the entranceway was first made as a makum dira, the entranceway from a house to the backyard, and then you made the fence hukaf l'dira. But the opposite, aval hukaf, it was first fenced around, and then vasof pasach, then I made an entranceway, pesach lo pasach, and there was no entranceway, ulvasof, fine, again, aval hukaf ulvasof pasach, doesn't work, lo, does not, period. So Gemara says, pasach ulvasof hukaf, if I made an entranceway for my house, and then I fenced it in. That works as a makum dira. Pshita, of course. Why would he not be able to work as a makum dira? If it was an entranceway for my house, and I made a fence, hukaf l'dira, that's pashut, that's not a din of a karpiv. And the Gemara says, lo tzicha is only needed in a situation, isbei bei dari. My backyard was used as a threshing field, where I'd throw up all my wheat, and let the wind take it, and I'd step on the wheat. So it wasn't used for makum dira, it was used for the process with the wheat in my backyard. So maybe in that case, mal the same by adaite de be dari avdi, I opened up the entranceway for my house, the backyard, not to hang out there, but rather to access the base dira in the back, rather the base dari. And maybe we'll not have a din of hukaf for dira. Kamash Malan, from the very fact that I have an entranceway for my house, and I'm hukaf l'dira, even though it might also be an access to my threshing field, it does become a hukaf l'dira, it's acceptable. So Gemara now says, in the last few lines of the Amud here, karpef yoser mi beis sasayim, shukaf l'dira. So let's say you have a karpef, it's larger than beis sasayim, but I built a fence around it with the intention of using it as makom dira, so that's fine. What happens later on, however, is let's say nismale maim, the area fills up with water. So now I can't really access it anymore. It's a pool. So Savar Rabban Lameimar, Kizraim Damu Vasr. Once there's water there and I can't access the property, it's as if it's planted there with vegetables, and it knocks out the ability to be a makum dira, and it's asr, it's like a regular carpet that you can't carry. So the Gemara then says, Amr le Rav Abba Avua Dirav, Bre Dirav, Misharsha, Hachi Amrinan Mishbe Dirava, Maim Kinatiyam Dami. He thinks, no, when there's water, that's actually the makum natiya, like when there's trees there, and it's acceptable. So a big machlokas amarayim, when there's water in the area, does it render it like makum karpif, like zram, or like makum natiya, and would be permitted. So that's an important machlokas. So the Gemara says, going on Tamar Beis now, Amar Abai, with one caveat, the only way you could assume the water would be acceptable and would not render it a karpif is when v'hu dechazin letashmishas, letashmishasa. That when it's right to be used, what does that mean? Says Rashi, "Dechazel tashmishasa l'shtia." When it's drinkable water, d'ein lechadira meula miso. There's no greater dira than having water to access to drink. The Rashba actually extends it. He says not only makum for shtia, even if the water is usable for the purpose of laundry and some other purposes, lav dafka drinking, that too would be considered there's some purpose for it. Even though you can't do laundry on Shabbos, but the fact is there is water there that's considered for livable use, and therefore would be considered makum dira, even if it's not drinkable water. Aval, says the Gemara, lo chazir letashmishas, if it's not roi for any type of fit, it's dirty water, it's swampy water, lo, that's not considered considered makum dira. So it's important to know when you have a pond or a lake or a swamp in an area, so is the water drinkable or not? That might tell you, dictate whether that's going to be considered a makum dira or not a makum dira based on this sugya. So the Gemara now says further, Amr of Ashi, says, there's one other caveat. If you have a pool, and this is very halacha maisa, those who have a pool, now your pools are not going to be bigger than a beis hasayim anyways, so it's not really an issue, but if your pool is a massive pool, I don't know what a beis hasayim means for our purposes, but we said 70 amos by 70 amos, we're talking about 140 feet by 140 feet, that's a pretty large pool. I don't think people's properties are not that big usually, so I doubt the pool's that big, but if you have a pool that big, it could actually pose an issue of there being a carpet in your very backyard. So the Gemara then says, so Amr Vashi, one other caveat here.
It has to be the majority of the carpet, 70 by 70 or 35
140 by 140. 70. Has to be.
And if it's a majority, it's not still.
No. Uh-huh. So then Amr Vashi, says, with the Chazyan, the Tashmishasa, and even when it's right for some use, whether it's use of drinking the water or whether it's use of laundering clothing in it, Nami lo amrin elish ein b'omker yoser mibeis hasayim. It's only true if there's not in the omek, that's, you have to read Rashi here, the omek 10 tvachim. There can't be 10 tvachim deep over an area a base sasayin. But im yesh b'omka yoser mi base sasayim, if there's omka, if there's depth, meaning there's 10 tefachim deep over an area base sasayim, then it would be also, and Rashi refers to a sugya from Mesechah Shabbos, if there's a puddle in Rishus Sarabim, that actually is no longer considered Rishus Sarabim, it could break up Rishus Sarabim, only if the puddle is 10 tefachim deep. So here as well, it's only going to be also if it's 10 tefachim deep. But if it's less than 10 tefachim deep, and the water is usable, that's all considered part of the Melkom Dira. But the moment it's either not Chazi L'Eni Tashmish, or it's a Omek Yoser Miyas HaTvachim, it's going to be a problem of a Karpif. So the Gemara then challenges this last point, however, about the depth being 10 Tvachim. La Milsa, the Gemara says, not true. We don't think that's correct, actually. The 10 Tvachim depth has no bearing on this discussion. Mi did have a Karya the period. If you have a mound of fruit, Rashi points out, if you look at Rashi two narrow lines down, Rashi says, Karya the Piri, if you have a mound of fruit, Krishel Peros, Gavoa Asara. If you have a mound of fruit, 10 Tvachim high, but Rochav Kerochav, base core, it's a huge space of base core, Lo Bala Toras Dira Misham. Just because there's fruit in my backyard is not going to make my area into a Karpef, it's still considered Makum Dira. Umaim Haruim Lashir, any water that's drinkable is Kaperos Dami. I don't care how deep it is, whether it's deep 10 Tvachim, it should be no different than fruit, and therefore the Gemar Paskin, it doesn't have any effect, no matter how deep it might be. So the Gemara then says, and then this next rest of the sugi here is just interesting. It's a great case study of how to build an Eruv. So you're like given a certain scenario. What do you do in this scenario? How do you deal with a certain case here? So the Gemara creates the following situation. It didn't create. It was actually Halach Lamaisa. Hahu Rechava Davi Befum Nara. There's a certain Rechava, a backyard area, that was in a city called Pum Nara, the side of a river. Dechad Gisa Have Pasiach Lamasa. So the Rechava had one alleyway, a mavoi, leading into the city. That was one end of it. The Rechava is a big area, and then a small alleyway leading, a mavoi leading to the city. The Chagis, at the other end of it, have a pesiach l'shvil shakramim, led into a little pathway amongst the vineyards. The shvil shakramim have a salak l'gudinara. And now the shvil kramim led into a river. So you just imagine there's a picture. Those who have picture books, it makes it very clear. If you don't, I'll just try to make it for you. We have a big Rechava in the center here. And then there's a path that leads to a city, and a path that leads to the river. That's it, very, very basic. So now, what's the situation here? So the Gemara wants to know, Havisalik Luguda Nara Amar Baya Heche Navid, what should you do? How do you build the proper fence to be able to carry in the Rechava? So now, what are the issues that we have to deal with here? Rechava, right now, stands as a karmelis. It's a karmelis. And when there's a karmelis next to a mavoi, it actually assers the use of the mavoi. So the mavoi is asser because of the Rechava. And now with regards to the shvil is actually pretty good because it has three walls, because the shvil has two walls of the alleyway, but remember the river, the water, there's a wall, there's a riverbank which has a wall, although you can't see it, there's a third wall which is below the area, which serves as a third wall closing off. So now you have three walls of the shvil, but opens up into the rechava. So that's the shvil end. And however, the fact that the shvil leads into the rechava assers the shvil as well, because whenever you have a chatzir that opens up into another area that assers it, like a rechava, that's assered to carry in the karm into the shvil. So every area is assered. So just to be clear, rechava itself is a karmless. The shvil itself is actually good because of three walls, but the very fact that it's next to the rechava assers the shvil. And then the other end is a mavoi. So the mavoi goes from a karmless to a Rosh Hashanah. On the other end, you need some type of lechi or karat or pesach to deal with that. So that's the case we're dealing with. That's a case study. So now, how do you construct a proper eruv? So the Gemara says again, Amar Bai Hechi Navid, what should you do? La'avid le mechitza aguda denara. If you want to build a fence on top of, now it's like one other point Rashi points out, a very simple solution, by the way, Rashi says, you could knock down the stone walls of the Rechava and rebuild them for the Mehukaf Adira. Right now, the Rechava has a hukaf shalol shem dira. There are walls around it, but they weren't built for dira purposes. Now I want to use it for dira purposes. Knock down the wall and rebuild tenamos for hukaf the dira. That's too much work. They don't want to knock down walls and build stone. We want to do something simple, build a tzur a pesach, a little lechi. No knocking down walls. So that's not really an option, Rashi says. So what should you do? So the Gemara says, if you want to build a wall on top of the river, so you have a wall already below the river, and you want to build a wall above the river, if that's what you want to try to do. And now, so that's going to be hukaf the deer. It's going to try to enclose the rechava as well. To view that all as the whole area as one unit now, with that wall on top of the river, enclosing the shvil, enclosing the rechava, enclosing the mavoi. That would be one big area. That doesn't work because there's a klal, ein osim mechitza al gavi mechitza. There's already mechitza underneath the water. You just can't see it. So to build a mechitza on top of another mechitza doesn't help. If I've got 10 tefachim of wall, to build a wall on top of that, that doesn't help anything. You're just making a larger wall. But that's not a new wall. That's not going to be effective. So that's not going to be a relevant option. So what's the option here? So the Gemara says that la'aved le'tursa pesach, make it tursa pesach, apuma de shvil shel kramim, make it on the area of the tursa pesach, which means now the area next to the shvil shel kramim, adjacent to the rechava, make a tursa pesach there. So that would be seemingly effective. So that would be a good answer. However, because now that tursa pesach would serve to enclose the rechava now. You built like a new wall. The problem with that, the Gemara says, is asu gemalei shadinle. The tursa pesach, the gemal and the camels are going to come and knock it over. They're going to come to want to get some water. Right? Because you go from the Rosh Hashanah, you walk through the Mavoi, walk through the Rechava, walk through the Shvil Shekramim, get to the water to drink water. When they're going to walk through the Shvil Shekramim, they're going to knock down the Tursa Pesach. The camels were large, they were tall, they were wide. They're going to knock it over. They're going to be ineffective. So the absence of the Machlokes Rishonim, when we say that this Tursa Pesach is ineffective because the Gemalim, doesn't mean they're ineffective even when the Tursa Pesach is up. It's ineffective because it has the potential to knock down, or no, only when they fall down. When it's up, it actually works. But we're just choshesh that the gemal is going to knock it over, then you have no tursa pesach. So that's a machlokes Rashi Meiri. Either way, we don't suggest making tursa pesach because the concern of the camels knocking them down. So what do you do? So Ella Amar Abai says, La'aved lechi apischa deshvil shel kramim. You make a lechi on the entranceway of the shvil of the kramim. Now, the reason why lechi won't be knocked down by the gemal as opposed to the tursa pesach, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says lechi, it's around halfway down the wide lines, he says, hana'otz baritz, you put a little lechi in the ground, v'avyav mashu, we know it could be as thin as you want, it's very tiny. Vein gemam no gemba, they won't even touch it. Tursa pesach is a whole structure, not a big structure, but it's a structure. Lechi is a tiny little post you put in the ground, the gemal won't touch it, so it's going to be protected from the gemal. That's fine. And then the Gemara explains, La'avid lechi apischa the shvil shekram. You put it by the kramim, and then what happens is, the migo the mahani le shvil shekramim, once it works for the shvil shekramim, mahani nami le rechava, works for the rechava as well. So if you look at Rashi to explain this, Rashi says, the migo the mahani le shvil le taltiba, to lehave hashe paritz le karmas. Now remember, the shvil itself has three walls. The two adjacent walls, the Rechava of the river, the street of the wall. And now, the problem was, why is it Aser? It's three walls. Because it opens to a Karmas of Rechava. By putting a Lechi between the Rechava and the Shvil Shel Kramim, it now encloses the whole Shvil Shel Kramim area. It's a separation between the Karmas and the Shvil Shel Kramim. So now, Shvil Shel Kramim is Mutter because of the Lechi. Now that the Lechi works for the Shvil Shel Kramim, it also works the flip side. It works to the Rechava as well. Now normally, just putting a Lechi next to Karmas won't help. But this Migo helps. Halachli, since it works as a fence for the Shul Shekramim, it works, the backside as a fence for the Rechava, and that will be effective, the Gemara says. So the Gemara then says, Amalei Rava, Rava says, Im Kain, if you're allowing a Lechi to work for the Shul Shekramim, and then to work for the Rechava, Im Kain, Yomru Lechi Moel, the Shul Shekramim, the Alma. People are going to say in general, oh, a Lechi works for a Shul Shekramim. What's the problem? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says Shlishvil Shakramim de Alma around 10 lines up, Delo Salik Luguda Denara, have the Kamavi Mufulish. People are not going to notice the third wall by the river. Right? The river's covering the wall underneath it. So you and I know, because we know this case, that there are really three walls. But some other guy walks in, he doesn't see a third wall by the river, the water's covering. He only sees two walls, and then he sees a Lechi. It's really a Mavi Mufulish. It looks like an open alleyway right through through both ends. The Yomi is going to say, "She'ein tach tikun ela barosha echad kiyai." When there's a mavi mufulash, it's enough to put a lechi in one end, and that's it. He doesn't know there's a third wall underneath the water, and that's going to lead to a big problem. So he doesn't like the lechi approach. Ella, what you should do is ella amarava avdina lechi lepischa demasa. You make a lechi for the mavi, not the shvil shekramim. We're going to take the other side, the mavi. The mavi by the karmelis, between the karmelis and the rechava, that's a mavi mufulash. Now, even though the Gemara says you just put one lechi in, Rashi clarifies, you need to put a teres of Pesach on one end of the mavoi, and a lechi on the other end of the mavoi. Remember, we discussed how to close a mavoi mefulash. You need to have doors, you need to have a teres of Pesach. So Rashi points out to the Gemara in the first parak of Dav Zayim, where you put a teres of Pesach on one end of the mavoi next to Rosh Hashanah, and a lechi between that mavoi and the rechava, so that closes off the mavoi mefulash, and once that lechi works for the mavoi mefulash, It works for the Rechava as well. So the Gemara says again, Ela Amar Rava Avdina Le Lechi Lepischa Demasi. You put the Lechi between the Rechava and the entranceway to the Mavoi, and I'll add, plus the Torah of Pesach between the Mavoi and the Rosh Hashanah, the Masa, and the Migo, the Mahani Le Lechi Le Masa, from the fact that the Lechi works for the Mavoi, lean to Masa. It also works for the flip side, Mani Nami Le Rechava. And therefore, Hilkach Tiltele B'Masa Gufei Shari, you could carry within the Mavoi Mufulish itself separately. And also, Tiltuli B'Rechava Gufashar, you're allowed to carry in the Rechava as well. Each one independently has its proper walls. Now the question is, which the Gemara is going to address, and we'll finish with this, what about from one to the next? Can you carry from the Rechava to the Mavoi, and from the Mavoi to Rechava? Do those two, can they interact with each other? So the Gemara says, now, Mimasa L'Rechava, and Mirechava L'Masa, from that backyard to the Mavoi, and the Mavoi to Rechava, that's Pligiba, that's Machlokes, Rav Acha, Ravina. Chad Aser, Chad Shari. Meaning everyone agrees in each independent area you may carry. The question becomes carrying from one area to the next. So one holds Aser, one holds Mutter. What's the Machlokes? So the Gemara explains as follows. Man the Shari, the one who permits you to carry from the Rechava to the Mavoi and the Mavoi to Rechava, because the Haleka Dion, there are no Dion. What does it mean Dion? There's no one living there. Why normally is it Aser for me to carry from my Chatzar to your Chatzar? Because I live in my Chatzar, you live in your Chatzar. You need to build an Erev Chatzeros that we have one unit. But if no one's living there, if I have a yard that's no man's land, but it's an offense. Let's say, I know there's my backyard, let's say, between all the houses, sometimes you have like an area in the middle where no one owns. It's like a big property, so the center area. So nobody owns it, so as long as it's fenced in, I could carry from my Chatzar to someone else's Chatzar. There's no man's land. But if someone else lives in that Chatzar, owns a Chatzar, I can carry from my Chatzar to his Chatzar, unless we make an Erev Chatzeros. So Rechava was not owned by anyone. No one lived there. Remember the Rechava, no one used it as a base dira. There are no access points from my house to the Rechava. It was just no man's land. So they say, since Leka Dion, since nobody lives there, so you're allowed to carry from one area from the Rechava to the Mavoi and vice versa. As opposed to the Mavoi, remember the Mavoi, people are accessing the Mavoi from the Chatzar. So you need to build a Shtufei Mavoi so we could carry together. But right now the Rechava is no one lives there. It's no man's land. So just look at Rashi, the top Rashi in Chafei. The less Bay Dion, Sheyasu al b'nei mavoi. No one lives in the Rechava to aser onto the b'nei mavoi. Hilkach rishus b'nei mavoi. It's considered an extension of the mavoi. U'b'nei shvil, the people of the shvil also lo aser al, won't aser either. Tavi kachatzer katana shenifritza l'gadola. The Rechava was much bigger. The shvil was tiny. So we know that a chatzer katana cannot aser a chatzer gadola. So the shvil cannot impact the larger Rechava. The gadola muteres. So that's the understanding why you may carry from the Rechava to the Mavoi to the Rechava. But the other one who felt, and we'll finish with this, Man de Aser, the one who says you may not carry from Rechava to Mavoi and vice versa, Zimnin de Havi Bei Djorin Vasa de Tetule. Sometimes, as we discussed, people will actually make entranceways from their house to the backyard, and now it becomes an extension of their house, and there will be Dioran, and the people living in the Rechava will ask the people of B'nai Mavoi, and it lets you make the proper Shtufei Mavos, it will Aser, therefore they said one cannot carry from one area to the other area. We will stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. This has happened to be a great case study.